Makeup. Comb my face.
Okay, turn it on now, I turn it off.
Ready?
Do it. This one's still going.
They call those sort of bloopers, so not bloopers, but.
Okay, hello, we're in ANS class, Rural Development 401, Cultural Knowledge of Native Elders with Edith Nagyak from Barrow, and my name is Jamie Spires. We talked about healing and plants the last time we met, and so I have two questions for you. I guess the first question would be, what sorts of healing, herbal or not, like plants or not, do you remember from your past, from your childhood?
Herbal? Mm-hmm. Herbal or plants or other?
Any of it.
Anything.
Very general.
Very general. Well, this is just something that happened to me personally. We just had moved to Barrow, and there was a big sore that I developed on my chin, and it wouldn't heal, and it was I didn't know what it was. Anyway, it got bigger and bigger, and then my Uncle George Akutu came to Barrow, and he got some ashes from people or wherever he got some ashes, and I just love my Uncle George. I trust him, and I don't know how old I was, maybe 8 or 9, and so whatever he said, I just did. So what he did was sprinkle ashes on my big sore that was really big, I remember. And the next thing we know, it started covering up. And so that was a personal experience of something which I never went to the clinic or anything, but it was something my uncle knew what to do about. And I guess the ashes of the cigarette or any other ashes dried up that pus or something that was contagious or whatever, let it go. So that was my personal experience of being healed. And one of my personal experience, I mean, not personal. I know him personally because I was one of the Barrow dance group, and I have high respect for Pete Subala. He's very intelligent, very good memory, and he's an excellent storyteller, and he knew a lot of things, animals, and one time he was talking and I could hear him, and he said probably some people knew and heard about it too. He shared something very, very important. When you're out camping in the tent, make sure you preserve. There's a little cold, they call it, where we urinate. So he said, save that. You know, just you do your solids outside for that moment. Save that urine. And he saw it personally. Somebody had a big gash. Somebody cut himself really big, really bad, bleeding a lot. And so he saw it personally, where this guy put it in that urine, and the bleeding stopped. So those are some of the things that I have heard, and I believe him. And it might sound it might sound, you know, who wants to do that? But it might save your life someday. So that's one of the things that I really wanted to share with everyone what I have heard, and I know it's true because I have high respect for this founder.
So, in regards to plants, what kind of plants do you think are used most from your area for healing purposes?
I tried one myself from my arthritis. It's a common plant up there, herbs. So, excuse me. This is the Arctic Harvest. It's done by the elders up there. It's in here, and I've tried it and it worked on me. And I remember wrapping it around, leaving it on my affected area of me, on my knee for a while, and it really did work. So, and make sure you're going to be using the plants to be, don't use it without asking an elder or have an expert or an elder. An elder is an expert or somebody who knows about the plants. Don't use anything without consulting with an elder or somebody who might know about the plant.
Do you remember what the plant was named? What kind of plant it was?
No.
But it's a name.
But I've seen, an elder have talked to me about, when we were there, right where on the tundra, what it was.
So maybe...
And offhand, I can't remember the Inupiaq name, but I can.
Yeah, so maybe when we watch that, you can say that's it, point it out.
Yes, if we have time.
You talked about your father being a healer and how he would help people, and I wondered if you would go farther into things that he would do, how he would heal people. If people would come to him with problems and such.
Okay. This is Vincent Naraya. He was adopted by King Akhtar and Kutak. His real parents, Kumuyuk and Alak, had died, so King Akhtar and Kutak adopted him, Vincent Naraya. Aluexi is his Eskimo name, Ventanara Senior. So, when I was growing up, when we had moved to Bell, I personally saw him work with pregnant women. He could manipulate babies. If there were breech, he knew how to manipulate the baby so that they would be in the right position to break, or to if there was the cord was around the neck, he knew how to manipulate it so that it would come out. And personally, I've seen him before he worked on the women, he would pray first and wash his hands, of course. And I always remember he always had warm hands. He never I remember I came home with really cold feet after playing outside and by the stove, kind of warm up, and come sit, sit. And he wrapped my feet with his arm, I mean not arm, with his hand. Oh, that's what I do to my grandchildren and whoever comes in with cold feet. And he was very special. I've seen him, I've seen women come in that are late, you know, or to have their baby, they would come in and he would work on them. And the next thing we know, either somebody had a baby boy, he had a baby, so right when they were going to use his expertise, in the hospital, he passed away. 1986, when the hospital was going to use him, because they were going to call him, and, you know, when they were having problems with babies.
Was he ever able to pass that knowledge on to anyone? I know you said you were very interested in maybe continuing that work?
Unfortunately, we have not, you know, isn't that odd? I think it has something to do with being humble, and when you have a gift, you don't show it off, or you're humble by what we can do, and we all have kids, and when we work on each other, the siblings, like Martha, sister, Beth, and we know we all have gifts. It's just a matter of like answering the call. Because I remember being in India and they were doing the healing, and somebody said, you have the gift. I want to show you how, you know, but you know, there were missed opportunities in my life. I think they could sense the gift that I have, and it's not boasting or anything. It's all in us if we become centered. And it has nothing to do with religion or anything. It's just the spiritual essence of our culture. A wonderful thing too. So I think that's what happened. And I know Rosella Stone's angelic. That's another missed opportunity. I remember her confronting me and said, come and stay with me for a while. Isn't that, I mean, I had three little kids. And so today I know for a fact that I can do it. I know I have a gift. And I'm not boasting or anything. Like the siblings together, we work on each other, and we know that we do have to do. It's just a matter of following through with what we need to do in order to utilize that gift. And I've been working with the health and social services for many years, and I remember an 11-year-old child, powerful, powerful message that she gave to all of us. She said, before you can fix anybody, you have to fix yourself. Whoa, that is so wonderful. So I'm in the healing process. In your life, you'll sense it when you know you have to do certain things in order for you to help yourself. to humble yourself, and you'll know. So it's just a matter of learning to listen, and listen to learn. That's one of the things that I, in my life, that I have picked up from down in Wisconsin, this elderly lady. Learn to listen. Listen to learn. Wow. Okay. Because I had the tendency to just not want to listen. That wasn't my characteristic. Stay away. You know, don't help me. I can do it myself. That independent, strong child.
I don't know anything about that.
So. It feels so good to learn to say no and to take really good care of yourself and stay away from people who will hurt you emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, physically. Common sense. That's a part of the healing process. The common sense, stay away from, you know. And I think that will help you.
So you mentioned your trip to India, and I figured that the rest of the class would probably want to know more about that, since it was just you and I who talked about it. Could you talk about why you went to India and some of the other things that you learned there?
I think for me it was a spiritual journey. Because I had a really good friend who decided to go. He was doing a documentary on different cultures, and I remember him taping our area, and he had taped somewhere in Mexico, somewhere different in India, all over the state. So he said, I want to go to India. And I said, wow, okay. So we went, we stayed there for 3.5 months, and that's when I found out, wow, it was amazing, like leaping, leap of faith. He taught me to take a leap of faith. He had a lot of faith in him, and getting to know him also. Because I've always been strong-minded and stubborn and outspoken, and all those things that, you know, I learned how to control myself. That, I mean, he had courage enough to confront me. I said, I don't like what you said. Whoa! The best ever friend for me was a person who can say the truth about yourself. So the spirit is everywhere, whether it's in India or in the tundra, or when you see the setting sun. I remember one day in the, you know, in Dhaka we had the most awesome, beautiful sunset. And everybody was just drawn down there. Everybody went down to not to the beach, but I remember a lot of people went there just to watch. Amazing. It's healing. Anything that you see, that you do, art, or whatever that you do to, that makes you feel good, it's healing.
Perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Can you share about how you were doing this with your hands?
During that trip to India, I had the, I don't know, allergy to metal, maybe that's a assign or something. But within my life, when I'm going to work with people, I don't have anything that has to do with metal. And I was working on my friend, where I was meditating, I was praying, and working on him. And that's when I found out I had the gift of healing. I think that's why our God was so humbled, and I think that it is so humbling to be given a gift that they never say anything. He did ask us to learn it, because it's a powerful privilege, I think. Something that's given to you. Doctors, nurses, anybody who works with people, health and social services, counselors, even the beauticians who work on your hair. Wow, you got healing hands. So it has a lot to do with your personal, you know, I wouldn't want somebody that's cranky and, you know, to do my hair. So the common sense. So, and I have the ability to sense, you know. I come to know that.
And so some
people are, they have to be receptive to the spirit. And so the spirit gives you that knowledge and wisdom. And I didn't know, and the healers down here did that, would cleanse themselves. And here I did it just automatically after I work on my friend and started doing that and meditating. And I remember wanting to share that with people who work with people. And I think they already know. I know. Oh, one of the things that I forgot, after our dad worked on the women, the birthing, working on the baby, he would not wash his hands, and then he would pour alcohol on his hands. And that's what we do, even when we're massaging the siblings, when we're working on ourselves. That's what we do, we wash our hands and pour alcohol and pray and meditate that whatever we worked on while not coming to our body. Mm-hmm.
So is this like working out?
Because I think it's like in the hospital, you know, when you're after you're working with people or whatever, you automatically wash your hands and there's alcohol in there or whatever, cleansing. So I think our egos, you what to do, just common sense about working with people first and then you wash your hands. But he had always used alcohol. And my sister shared, she's the adopted one, Miriam, Reverend Miriam Warren. She said, he practiced on me so much that he learned how to do the birthing. it's so true. He started way back. I just, even before I was born, he knew he had a gift, and my sister Marianne was eating peanuts before she went to sleep, and she, in the middle of the night she started. So, I'm falling, I'm falling. She had a nightmare. So the aunt, my aunt automatically went to go get my dad, and he came over and massaged her stomach, and she said, did you have a lot of peanuts? And she said, yeah. she didn't tell him or anything. they went to your one side of the stomach, and that's why. And she was wondering, how in the world did he know? it's something that you know. In your center. So you know within your soul whether you have it or not. automatic response.
So as far as like stories that don't necessarily come out so good, is there any scary stories that have happened? People that have tried to work on other people that things didn't go so well that you remember? Is there anything like that?
Personally, no. I haven't done no many stories like that. What do you mean scary?
You know, like, you know, blood and bad results, you know, people trying to save somebody and not being able to, and just, you know, the fact that that's scary is what I mean.
You mean shamanism?
Mm.
That, because I remember our dad talking about there's a good shaman and a bad, really bad. Somebody who kills, who hurts people and who steals and all that other bad stuff. So I remember him sharing there's a good shaman and there's a bad shaman. So I think at first in my mind, a shaman was something that was no good. It's not from the good, you know. But he clarified it for me a long time ago. They were, I think, the good shamans were the healers, you know. And the bad ones were the ones that are praying to the devil or, you know, praying to the dark side.
Wanting bad things to go
on. Yeah, and that's how they had control over people. That was really bad. That's something else. And I remember somebody, I think he was involved with shamanism when he was younger. And he was dying in the hospital, and my mom and her best friend went to go see him, and he was crawling on the bed. And so when they both went home, they started talking about him, and he said, he never told anyone. That means we need to tell somebody, either the bad things that have happened to us, either that they have to exercise, mm-hmm. like take out the evil from them, exorcism or mm-hmm. prayer, meditation. You know. And I'm not promoting religion. I have been there. And I'm talking about our way of life, the India way of life. You know, the spiritual essence of our life. And that's one of the things that I think that is given to us in healing. Della Keats was a healer who was very close to our dad. So there's a connection, a spiritual connection in reference to words in our people. That's the spiritual essence of our culture. Not being close-minded, but being able to accept everything that is around you without any prejudice. or anything to be able to accept people the way they are and respecting their choices, whatever they want to be. I think that's what they call an open mind.
Well, does anybody else have any questions?
Who told you, learn to listen and listen to learn?
Louis. She's, I'm involved with the A program. I've been serving for 8 years. Beautiful. Well, not actually. I had a lot of work emotionally, psychologically, when I was serving them, because I had been releasing for a long time. And when I spoke for them, I went to meetings and befriended, sober people, and she was one of them. Elder ladies that opened my ears. I said, oh my God, thank you. Listen to learn and learn to listen. So in the healing process of me, it's a continuous process. Healing yourself. You know what you need to do in order to, in order to help yourself.
What was your life?
I have it in my address book. Like that program refers only to first name. You got N, you know, it's a personal program. But we get to know each other. I suppose. Thank you. Yes.
Yesterday when we met, you talked about a plan that you had in Harvard along the sea.
A plant that we harvest on the beach. I don't know personally about a plant that we harvest on the beach, but I do know plants. I think plants that come up on the ocean. And the delicacy of our parents was when they catch a walrus, they would open up the stomach and they clean out the clams are in there. They put them in the seal oil and say, wow. That really good eating. But you're more than welcome to check this out. While I'm here, you can check it out. It's 28 minutes on medicinal plants. I have a checkout list.
It was a good video.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So quickly, let's just go around and see if anybody
has. You mentioned that, like, you've, like, become, like, later in life you've done a lot of spiritual and emotional kind of growth. And I was wondering if you were comfortable, if you could talk about what, I guess, started that, like, what got you into that, onto that path in life? If there was a moment in time.
When I was thinking of applying for that traditional assistant, there was an opening for the North Slope Board. I wanted to learn from Della Keith, that was the purpose, because she wanted an assistant. And for family purposes or whatever, with my three little kids, I didn't have that opportunity. But I knew, I sensed it. You pretty much know where you're going, health and social services, or medicinal plants, or a healer, or whatever is you're interested in, and we call it the calling. when you cannot forget about it. You have to follow through it. And I've always sensed it. And the one that really made me realize that I have the gift is when delegates. I had the honor of delegates asking me to go with her, to live with her for a month. And I think she knew. And I have no fear. I have no second thoughts of anything, because that's where I'm going. I remember when I remember I was 30 years old or something, and I said, when I become 50 years old and wise, I'm going to do this. But that's just a young person, you know, foolish thoughts. But I remember, yeah, I wanted to do this, didn't do. And it's wonderful to have goals. Write them down, and I've done that. At least 5 goals of what I'm going to do within the 5 years, 10 years span. And I've acquired. I mean, you know, not acquired, but I've done what I said I was going to do. So it's good to have a goal. Write it down, and you see, so that, oh, wow, check. I've done that. So you're all young, and I'm so proud of you. You have that potential of who you want to be, and the wisdom and the knowledge will come.
Yeah, I was wondering. Whether the knowledge about natural and spiritual medicines has kind of like begun to die to some degree, like be lost, like whether a lot of kind of
I don't think it's going to be lost.
No, is it well passed on still? Is it still?
It's just a matter of following whatever calling, you know, that was presented to you. So each and every one of you are here. See, you're going to school. You're learning something that's going to help people and help you also.
So like in comparison to like westernized like practices, how much of each is used? Is it mainly like natural and spiritual like healing?
I think nowadays there's a spiritual awareness overall nationally, and I think we've always had it. We've always had that ability to heal it. Help ourselves with coming out. There'll always be people who will help. Traditionally, if there were no more doctors or nurses or whatever, we have the knowledge and the wisdom as in Black. It's handed down from generation to generation, and we go over there and ask. You know, if we knew who would have that knowledge. It's not going to die. Like stories from generation to generation.
When you sobered up and chose to walk that better life, was it really hard to stay on that life, or did you?
Because
when you sobered up,
I had been affected as a child, violated as a child, and that was the one thing that I never dealt with. And when I started talking about it soberly, when I started sharing and realizing that it wasn't my shame and guilt, wrap it up and throw it at the person who did it, that's when I started healing. But when I sobered up, there was a lot of emotional. I was still a 15-year-old emotionally. Psychologically, in a 50-year-old body. And so I'm coming to, I was just sharing with somebody, I'm finally 58 years old. No longer a 16-year-old walking around in a 58-year-old body. So
It's a wonderful, it hurts like that. I'm sorry. It hurts. For me, it was so much pain. And thank God I had help. You know, you see a counselor. Whatever resources is available for you in order to heal, you use them. They're given to you. Therapist or a journey or anything that will help you in your healing journey. And that's the path to go. And I highly recommend stay away from drugs and alcohol. It doesn't help at all. I would have gotten my master's right now. I would have had a master's degree right now. Because I had broken my arm, young and foolish, fresh out of high school, and going to business college, and that's when it stopped. Because I know I was very intelligent, and I knew I wanted to learn a lot. So I highly recommend that you keep away from drugs and alcohol. It doesn't help.
Is there other family members that have the gift of healing that you could see, like maybe nieces and nephews, you know, how a lot of times the older folks are getting older, they could look at their gifts and they could see their gifts developing even from small children? Do you have any in your family that you could see right now?
My grandson, Alan, he's like 12 years old. He's already got the gift. Because I remember, I left home and I stayed away for like 7 years, I think 8 years. And when I first started, I visited them, you know, from Wisconsin, whether it was Fairbanks or Wisconsin, Fairbanks, Louisiana or Wisconsin, I would go home and be with them. How old was he? He was very small. I think I had gone away, and I remember coming back and share. We have a really beautiful connection, and we talked, and he said, Anna, I really think really hard so that you could come home. And I knew what he was doing. I mean, he was praying. He said, Anna, I think really hard. So there's he will be a healer. Everybody can. Every one of us can. It's just a matter of opening up, being honest with yourself, and just and say, okay, give me the wisdom and the love.
Leslie, you had mentioned. As far as what non-traditional medicine goes, I had an experience where I had like a stepped on like spirit searching or something like that. And so my brothers had told me that to key on it and, you know, they'll come out. And so I did and it didn't work. So I was up here just making fun of me to see if I was.
No, I think.
I really did truly believe that it would, but I wasn't sure if, you know, what I had in my foot was what they said would take care of it. But so that's one example. And then, like growing up, my mom, when we had a toothache, she'd get a whole clove and put it in our mouth, you know, to heal it, to get rid of the toothache. Or when we have a sore throat, you know, she all constantly hands, did you gargle with salt water?
Yeah.
And, you know, things that, like that's, that. Yeah. So are there things, and then you can make a paste like that of baking soda or something to bring like a boil to your head or, you know, things like that. So I'm wondering if maybe that wouldn't help you to remember other things, maybe that your parents might have told you to do, like when you're growing up when things happen.
In reference to
you know, just little
healing?
Home therapy kind of treatment outside of the norm, other than like taking medicine, you know, drug prescription type thing. Like, what did you do for the common cold or
Oh, yeah, I wanted to mention there's the Palooka well with a little, don't do this at home. You have to consult with the eldest friend, okay? It has to do with Palooka well oil, and you mix it with kerosene gas. Little bit. Like I said, don't try and do it. You have to get the right information before you can do that. But my sister uses it. Martha Aiken. She rubs it on herself, and our Inupiaq have used it and to prevent that person from having a pneumonia. Palooka oil with a little bit of gas. Very sweet gas. And that pea thing, it has to be aged.
Oh, mine was fresh.
Yeah. Fresh don't work.
I explained it on the
That's why they say to keep it. You know, it has to be aged, or how many days? Three days.
Well, that makes sense. Yeah. Then it says, because then the ammonia comes out from the floor, and so, yeah.
They use that to scrub the floor. Ammonia. I think a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And to wash there? I didn't know that. It's amazing. And down low for days, you don't even want to know. I've seen it on TV. Yeah. Whatever. Anyway, I think we're past that. Mm-hmm. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, you talk about a lot the spiritual aspect of the Inupiaq culture. I was just wondering if you grew up in a church also, or if there's a church in the culture. I know, like, with the teaching culture, the Church of England or the Presbyterian Church. Did your family ever become involved with the religion?
I was born Presbyterian, born Democrat. I remember I was a little girl. I don't know how old I was, and I was singing Eisenhower, ha ha ha, Eisenhower. And my mom said, "You do not do that. You have to." In Inupiaq, she said, you have to respect. You leaders. I was young, I didn't know, you know, I don't know where I got that song, but it taught me that we have to respect our leaders, you know. That's where the knowledge and the wisdom also comes from, your parents, you know, the healthy parents, because there can be unhealthy parenting, unhealthy grandparents. But healthy parents, they teach you, I remember, do not lie, do not steal, even playing marble. My dad, I remember, you do not take somebody else's property, you know, playing marble, you win and you take the marbles. So that we grew up in a very honest environment. That's how we were brought up. Not to steal, not to hurt anybody, not to hit. I remember, you know, our dad is a child advocate. He doesn't like anybody, even just to go like that softly to a child. And no, he disallowed that. He detested any kind of violence, especially to children. That's why I was saying earlier, I have one of the greatest dads alive. So every one of us probably know. You know, you have a grandfather or an aunt or, you know, mother, father. and the adults that you admire so much. So I got a very one son. He taught us a lot. And how to. Yes.
I'm just curious about what your favorite berries you like to eat. How do you like to eat them, or what do you like to eat with them?
Salmon berries. We don't have any at home, but Akasuk have salmon berries, and they bother. I think, like, from Kotzebue, if you find a trading partner, she would send you berries, and you would send them maktab, whatever, you know. And I remember picking blueberries up here in Fairbanks. I was like, wow, salmon berries. That's, we do not have it at home, but we do trade with partners.
What do they taste like?
Salmon berries?
Mm-hmm.
Mm, tart. You have to add sugar. Yeah. I was just remembering.
Huh?
They're orange. They're other, yeah. Their other name is cloudberry.
They're orange. Yellow, orange.
Can you get them around here?
They're small. They're like little tiny bushes, like no. These big little plants.
They're the ones.
I know where to pick some here.
Oh, you do? Wow.
By my house, I
was very pickers. Don't tell their territory. I remember moving to Fairbanks and my
it's so cousin. So her other question was, how do
you
when they're ready to go?
A long time ago, before sugar and all the milk and everything, uh-huh. I remember they used siloa. Siloa, you know, to eat.
And so you put them in seal oil?
No, you put a little drop of seal oil. It's like putting ranch on your salad. We call it seal oil. Oil. Yeah. And we have green. I'm pretty sure the Arctic Harvest has that. So any Latanya and Gwen? Oh, Carrie, I'm sorry.
Did anybody like teach you how to become a healer, or was it just something that came to you? Like, did your auntie, your uncle, or grandma teach you, or was it something that sort of came to you about?
I think because I grew up watching our dad doing it, and later on I sensed it, I knew it, because it's not something, like, you know, when you want to become a doctor, you go to school, and you anything that you can do to go there and become a doctor, then you do what you need to do. So a healer, I think it's a calling that it cannot come out of your mind, and you have to pursue it. And then just like becoming a health and social services director or anything that you want to become in life, then it's a calling. You cannot forget about it, and so you pursue it. So with me, with being a healer, it's like, it's humbling. You don't boast about it. Or I guess that's what our dad did, was he never talked about it whatsoever. That's why we never, we had so much high respect for what he was doing. And I think we just, it's a, what do you call it? You don't talk about it, you don't ask questions, you don't, you know, because it's a gift. so much high respect for that spiritual gift. It's the same thing. So, because I'm in this setting and I trust all of you, and it feels good, then I feel safe with all of you. That's why I'm doing this. For your ability in the future, when you have a calling, you'll know what it is.
When
did
you go to India?
1994. I remember all of a sudden he wanted to go somewhere and we didn't even have reservations or tickets, and so he said, no, we'll go. And I was crying, said, no, we don't even have tickets. Because I was that type of person who, like, I've been working for a long time, like when I'm going to go somewhere, I make reservations and I know where I'm going to go and what car to rent and all planned. And he said, let's go. And I remember crying and I said, we don't even know where we're going to live or where we're going to stay or what airlines we're going to go on. And that was a leap of faith. So when I was traveling with him, it was just amazing. I learned that leap of faith. Boom, boom, boom. We had a lot of trust, you know. Like in my life too, when I need help, I meditate, I pray, and everything just like click, which is a whoa, wow, you know, everything just like right there. You don't even have to think about it, it just comes to you.
I was wondering what the name of this, the beluga whale oil and the liquid kerosene, what did you guys call it? Is there a name for it, or is this kind of the name?
Is it there?
Yeah.
Colombia. We just called it medicine, something to use when you have a cold. Kilalua. Kilalua. I think that's it. We knew what it was in those days. What we used for, you know, we've known it for so long now. Kilalua, Kama, yeah, you know.
To prevent pneumonia now?
That's what, personally for me, I know that what it was used for, you know, on the chest. Because I think I don't know, maybe they might have used it on me. I remember. And it felt good. It stopped whatever was going to happen.
It sounds like that. My husband uses that Vicks vapor rub stuff, mentholatum, puts it on his chest, and then it draws out the cold from his chest so you don't get sicker than what you already are.
And that's how it's mentholatum, and it's kind of like
greasy, too, so it's
similar. Yeah. You know when somebody has it on.
Yeah.
Yes, Esther.
I really want to talk music to you.
Isn't that wonderful? We understand you. There was this young lady.
Some, yeah.
We'll have an Eskimo and music talking environment. One day we should do that. Just talk in your language and we talk in English. You talk in your English language. Everybody talks in their own language.
So, how long does it take? Can we fast forward it to the plant that you were referencing?
No. Okay. You can check it out if you want to.
Mm-hmm. So you have to go through the whole thing in order to
get yeah. Yeah. 28 minutes.
We could watch maybe part of it.
Part of it? 15 minutes? Yeah.
And then we could, in the meantime,
wonderful. Absolutely.
We could just put everything away so that we won't have to.
Okay. Excellent idea.
And
so we would
people
just
need to leave early. You can leave early, but that would be fine.
It's only 28 minutes. Approximately 28 minutes. So we could
what's just happening?
Yeah.